Strangers in the Wood is an actual play series drawing elements from gothic fairy tales and 80s fantasy and sci-fi action and horror films. As such, a list of content warnings will always be made available in the description. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Strangers in the Wood. I am your humble game master, Kendrick Smith. I use they, he pronouns, and with me today are my lovely players, starting with Gus.
You're creating an unusual energy for this episode.
What do you mean?
I'm not opposed to it, but it's There is an energy.
I got you.
I don't know what you're talking about. What energy are you feeling right now?
Well, welcome to Strangers in the Wood. My name is Gus. I use he, him pronouns. I'm playing Walter the Weasel tonight. I hope you enjoy.
Wonderful. And also here with us today is the lovely, intelligent, smart, studious, beautiful.
Wow, intelligent and smart and lovely and beautiful.
Hilda.
Hi there, I'm Hilda. That's me. I'm both intelligent and smart. I use she, her pronouns. I'll be playing Dorothy today, as I usually do. Welcome to the ASMR episode.
And last, but of course, certainly not least, is the wonderful, the magnificent, the stupendous, the transcendent, Marceline.
Hi, I'm Marceline. I use she, her pronouns. I play Dakota, and I'm happy to have you all here.
Wonderful.
Let's just get cozy.
Hang on, let me, I have a glass, and I'm just going to like tap on it with my fingernails.
Let's all join in.
Let's get the cocoa.
Wow. Yeah, this sucks. Let's
wonderful.
Do something else.
Great radio. Great radio, guys. But yeah, thank you all for being here with us for another episode of Strangers in the Woods. As always, we are playing Babes in the Wood, a Powered by the Apocalypse game by Adam Voss of World Champ Game Co. I realize in like the last many episodes, I've forgotten to say that. And so that's totally on me for not doing that. But we always shout out Adam. Thank you so much, Adam, for making this game because it is a lot of fun. And I think we are all having fun playing it. Brief housekeeping, I guess. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Tales Yet Told. That's TalesYetTold. It's the best way to get information about this podcast and also just like hang out with us because like, we think we're pretty cool, and we think
sometimes we have arguments and then resolve it by posting a poll on our Twitter with no context given.
With no context as to what the argument's about, you just have to vote blindly.
I'm pretty sure I was correct with the Chugga poll. That's all I want to say.
No, you were no. Wait, were we on the same side? I don't remember.
I don't remember who was on what side at all.
Nobody's on nobody's side. Anyway.
We forgot the
three,
argument.
I think it was three chugga chuggas.
I don't know. We can't re-deliberate this. The Twitter poll has already been spoken. If you want to know the answer, go to the poll.
Has spoken. Yes. We've taken such a trip here from ASMR to
Okay.
No, six.
No, okay. I'm pulling up the poll because I'm 90% sure that our followers voted correctly.
No, they're
not.
They're stupid.
Oh, yeah, no, it is six.
No, they're not.
It's because it's chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-choo-choo.
Yeah,
that's it. No, it's chugga. It's the same. It's the same as Batman. It's the same as Batman. It's chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-choo-choo.
No, Batman's four.
Wow, you're counting it as chugga-chugga. I'm just doing chuggas. Individual chuggas.
What?
You're counting them as chugga-chugga.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what time it is? It's time for the recap.
Walter's gone.
Well, I guess we know what he used his wish for then.
No.
A lot of talk for wanting to get us home.
No, he didn't. I heard him wish. He's gone. I don't know what happened.
How many cars are in the parking lot?
I don't want to say there's like a handful, five or six.
Starts checking their handles.
Beautiful. And you see a very familiar red Pontiac Firebird coming down the road, about to make the turn into the laundromat.
I think the first thing he does is he just yells, "Who are you?"
You hear this deep, booming voice respond,
"I am clear."
They slowly start to walk up and try to unseemly move towards the back of the car.
As you sneak around the one car, you can see that the driver door is already open. And as you recognize that, you hear a click behind you and a voice that just goes, "Don't move." Dakota, you've never been shot before.
Yeah.
What do you want?
I want violence. This is a program made to commit violence. They are given tasks to go do something, but at the end of the day, they are a driver that wants to commit violence.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging out with us, Jeff. Thanks for the tacos and the quarter. I want to make sure you get your dad back, bud.
I think Walter does the same.
I want her to get to a hospital. Yeah.
Walter, Dorothy, and Dakota. The three of you are sitting in the red Pontiac Firebird of the driver, Brittany. She is speeding down the road, flanked on either side by tall oak trees, their leaves flashes of gold, red, orange, and brown, these autumnal colors passing you by as you all are heading towards somewhere to get Dakota's wound clean. Walter, you are sitting up front next to Brittany. She has the sunroof down, the wind blowing through her hair and all of in your fur. The crisp evening autumn air whisks you all away down this road. Dakota and Dorothy, the two of you are sitting in the back seat. I'm imagining there's a seat in between the two of you, I could be wrong, correct me if I am, where Dakota, you are sitting on the side. Wait, actually, which seat are you sitting behind?
Behind the driver's side.
Okay, awesome. And then Dorothy, you're sitting behind Walter's, or are you sitting in the middle, close to Dakota?
I don't know if Dakota can obviously say differently, but I would assume that Dakota's leg is kind of taking up the first and middle seat.
Would like to say that Dakota's feet are probably moved from outside the bucket where their shoes normally would go when you're sitting down, because that is filled with vomit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot you did throw up down there.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that.
So I'm like squished against the opposite side, like trying to give Dakota as much room as possible.
Do we establish which leg it was? Was my left leg?
Yeah, sure. It was your left leg.
Okay.
So you all are going down the road. Let's just do a quick check-in. Dorothy, how are you feeling right now?
Awful. Thanks for asking. Dorothy is just completely pale. She's probably shaking a little bit from all of, you know, the overload of just like adrenaline and fear that's just coursing through her, having seen Dakota in this state and having had that whole experience that she felt she brought on. So like just guilt and adrenaline and fear and just trying to like take it all in. She doesn't know whether to like offer help to Dakota or just like disappear completely. And so she's opted for the second decision and is just trying to make herself small and not noticed.
Walter, how are you feeling?
I've kind of been thinking that Walter is like a little dazed, maybe like kind of a little out of it. Mm-hmm. Like, oh man, this is such a terrible, I hate that I'm about to, you know, in Game of Thrones, like late, I don't know, like season whatever. When Bran becomes the three-eyed raven, and he's like, it gets all weird about it because he can like see everything, and he's just kind of like a little. Walter's just kind of a little detached from everything right now. He's just kind of contemplating the like sort of truth that he has just learned, and he's kind of looking at everything now differently.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's kind of where he's at.
Gotcha. Very interesting. Okay. Dakota, what's going on?
Dakota.
Bleeding. Shot.
Dakota is cold. The world is losing color, and the only thing that they can really think about is the pain, the burning pain that's still in their leg. Just hoping that they can get somewhere in time before the darkness that's growing in the world seems to overtake them. Yeah. It feels like they can tell that the car is moving, but like they can barely perceive like what is going on.
Okay, you all continue this drive for a while, maybe like 20-30 minutes, and as you're all going down this road, like off in the distance, I'm imagining like you guys like cresting over a hill and like being able to like get a decent enough view over like the tops of some of the trees, and off in the distance you see this humongous oak tree towering over all of the others. It in this scenery, you know, like how typically like most trees, like when they start doing like the fall deal, that all of the leaves on that tree kind of turn around the same time, you know.
Yeah.
This tree, on the other hand, is a gradient of color where it seems like the tree itself is slowly becoming this dark brown color, but over time and in waves, like in vertical lines across the tree, where parts of the tree is still like this deep auburn color. And then as you look further into the tree, it gets a bit more orangish to kind of gold, and then back down again to this dark, dark brown. And this tree has almost this iridescent quality to it that as you all are driving and like moving down the road, and like you crest over one hill and then like further down the road you crest over another, you get another look at it. It's like the hues of the tree kind of shift along with where you are along the road with it. And as you get closer, you see that there is this sign for a town that's not too far away, maybe about 5-10 miles away, called Oak Creek. And you all are driving for like another 5-10 minutes before you see another sign that's a little bit further down the road. There's like this break in the trees, a little kind of field area, and you see that there is a sign that says the Last Leaf Motel. And Brittany drives her car towards it and then like makes a left into the parking lot of the Last Leaf Motel. It's this small, like, kind of two-story motel, you know, where it's kind of constructed in a U-shape, kind of surrounding a pool that's on the inside of, like, a wire fence. As you guys are, like, pulling up, you see, like, the little kind of office area and, like, a window, and, like, in it, you see there's a neon sign that's kind of flickering a little bit that says vacancies. And Brittany pulls into the parking lot, kind of rounds the building and finds a parking spot and like one of the numbered parking spots, and pulls up the car, puts it in park, and she gets out. What do you all do?
So driver just got out. I'm going to immediately turn to look at Dakota and see about how we're supposed to get her out of the car.
Yeah, I mean, Dakota is spacing out. Staring out where the window would be, kind of just looking and taking in everything. They don't seem to readily react or recognize that we've arrived at a different destination.
Dakota, we gotta go. Dakota, we're here. I, like, gently reach out to shake. Just, like, shake them very gently to, like, see if they're still cognizant.
Dakota just, like, almost drunkenly, like, turns to you and is like, oh, hi, Dorothy.
Dakota, we gotta get out. Come on.
Get out where?
I don't know, but we gotta get out. Come on. Please, you're scaring me. I, like, reach over Dakota and, like,
okay,
open her door. Where do I see the driver? Does she, like, where did she go?
She's standing outside of the car, like, seeming like just waiting for you all to get out. She is, you do see her kind of make a face as if she is acknowledging the fact that, like, it seems to be taking Dakota a bit to get out the car. But she has not readily made a move to do anything about that.
Is she on that side of the car, though, still?
Yeah, she is.
Okay, great. When I crack open that door, I immediately am like, help me! Help me get her out!
Can I ask real quick, how is my wound looking?
I mean, you got to it pretty quickly as far as, well, quickly, as far as, like, wrapping it goes. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember what you wrapped it in. Was it your own jacket?
No.
Oh, no, you took some sheets from the...
I took linens, and then Dakota did wound packing, but I assume that they've only, like, really, like, been told how to do it before.
Yeah.
So they don't know how to do it to the best of their capabilities.
We can roll, like, those... if you want to see how well,
sure,
it was.
Yeah, oh, no. Fine. I'm cool with that.
Sure. Let's do a noodle roll.
Puck.
Oh, shit. That's...
I didn't help at all, so I can't.
You know, this was just them.
I know.
That's a two.
It's not looking great, bud. Those sheets are soaked. I guess for that, take
some poor
one harm.
Okay.
Just for the time that it took to get here, without that properly being taken care of.
Some poor sublimian just wanted to do some laundry, but ended up getting their sheets taken and not gonna get them back.
No. Nope. Not getting those back at all.
They want them back.
If you get them back, they're covered in blood.
I don't think they want them back.
Yeah. Brittany. Yeah. Brittany hears you, Dorothy, and nods, walks over. You've kind of opened the door. She opens it all the way, and then you see her go in. She grabs you, Dakota. Like, she like puts her arms like through like underneath your like armpits to like grab you like by the waist and like drag you out of the car, essentially.
How does that feel?
It's not great. She is not doing anything to prevent the harm that has happened to your body from getting worse.
I'm crawling out that direction, like out of that car door now, like to try. I try to in any way I can. I can't do much, but like I'm trying to stabilize in any way. Like, oh my god, yeah, what are you doing?
For sure. Yeah.
Dakota, like, as, like, I'm being dragged, or as they're being dragged, they, like, are kind of, like, trying to, like, stamp the break into the ground to, like, get some kind of leverage to, like, hold themselves up.
Okay.
And, like, their heels are, I assume, like, are dragging on the ground. Like, they're trying to use, like, their right leg to, like, find some sort of footing of some kind.
Yeah, it's not... she isn't, like, just dragging you across the parking lot now, right? She's, like, she's okay. Just dragged you out of the car. You can get yourself some purchase, especially since Dorothy is also coming out to try to help you as well.
Yeah, I'd say Dakota probably, like, sticks the brake kind of deep into the... I'm assuming, is it a gravel parking lot or is it more, like, pavement?
No, it's gravel.
Yeah, like, into the gravel, like, parking lot and kind of, like, rests, like, a hand on the car, kind of, like, swaying, holding themselves up and, like, looking around and, like, staring at the neon sign for, like, a good few seconds.
If Dakota's leaning on the car, I'm, like, getting out that direction. I, like, take that arm and, like, have her lean on me instead, even though I'm not very tall, like, but aww. I don't want her leaning against the car.
Yeah. You do that, and Brittany goes, we need to get you inside. You need water.
Come on, Dakota. Let's go.
Dakota takes, like, and, like, tries to take a step, I'm assuming, and, like, another stab of the break into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Each time feeling, like, as if, like, they're scaling Everest. And it's, like, their, you know, their ice pick in the next part of the glacier is that break is like, their... way of making it to safety. You know, each time they take a step, they are focusing on their hand on that break, and they drive it into the ground, and they take a breath, and they take that next step, and then they realize they have to take the strength to lift it up again and stab again into the ground.
Yeah. I'm helping you. I mean, Dorothy's following to, like, support you as much as she can.
Yeah, so. I'd say probably after, like, a while, they probably make it to where, like, at least to, like, the sidewalk or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Walter, what are you doing?
Yeah, Walter, I think, like, still kind of in the state that he's in, like, a while after Dakota got out of the car, was just, like, sort of realized that everyone had gotten out of the car, and then has gotten out and is now following.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, you all follow her inside. She goes through, like, a gate that's over by the pool. She, like, types in the code, opens it up, lets all of you through, and then has you follow her. Thankfully, her apartment is on the first floor of this motel. She takes you over to her room, takes out the keys, unlocks it. As you all are, like, walking by, you see that there is a lady. She has kind of really, like, long dark hair that's been tied up into, like, a high ponytail. And she's wearing, like, what you would imagine, like, a very stereotypical maid would wear. I'm imagining, like, deep auburn uniform, and she's got her, like, cleaning supplies and bucket. Like, she's got, like, a trash can and, like, all of her cleaning supplies on it. She passes you all as you were, like, going by the pool. She, like, comes out of one room and is, like, heading to another, and you all, like, kind of trudge by. And she looks like for a moment, and then I don't know if anybody notices, but I think the camera is, like, from her point of view, like, we're following her, and then, like, it, like, pans as you all are passing by, and then, like, turns to, like, looking at her as she's turned to look at all of you, and then she kind of turns back in the direction of the camera and, like, has, like, the "what the fuck is that" kind of look, and then, like, kind of shakes her head, and then unlocks the next room and goes in. You all get over towards Brittany's apartment. She unlocks the door and lets you all in. It's this small little space, right? This isn't, like, a big fancy hotel. It is primarily this one large room. You see that there is, like, this big queen-sized mattress. On one end of the room, there's two, like, side desks. Like, one of them has a lamp on them, another has, like, a clock. Across the room from there is, like, a small desk. And, like, next to that is, like, a TV on a dresser. And then The room goes back and then has a little inlet and then a door to the left that goes into a bathroom that you would imagine. And in here, it seems like someone has set up this place to be lived in for a long period of time rather than just for a short period of time, where there are clothes and stuff. There's a little laundry basket that Brittany's been putting her clothes in. There's on the desk, there's this big red phone that's on there, as well as some notepads, pieces of paper, so on and so forth. And there's also a large black trunk that is at the very end of the bed, that does not feel like it is a part of the decor of this motel. Definitely feels like something she has brought in. And there's also a little camp stove on a table, and a mini fridge that's in here. And so you all walk in. Is there anywhere you all post up or put Dakota or anything like that?
What are we doing? Where's the doctor? He needs help.
I'm going to clean her wound, like I said. And she closes the door after you're all in. Put her on the bed. Actually, no, bathroom. I already got the sheets done.
Okay.
You got medical expertise or what?
She walks over to the big black trunk that's at the end of the bed. You see her, it's got the double scroll wheel number lock code on it, and you see her taking both hands putting in the code on either end at the same time and unlock it. And she goes, "I've cleaned myself up once or twice. I can take a bullet out." And you see her pop open the trunk, and you all can just see there's a rifle in here. There's a couple of other handguns, as well as other miscellaneous bags and tools and such. And you see her take out this plastic freezer or gallon size freezer bag that has in Sharpie written on it "med kit." And as she's she kind of opens it up and is digging through it to check to make sure she's got everything she needs, she turns and says, "Take her in the bathroom. There's some water in the mini fridge. She's gonna need a lot of fluids."
I help Dakota over toward the bathroom then. If
Dakota walks towards to lay on the bed.
Nope, Dakota, no.
Dakota.
No.
Dakota.
I just need to lay down.
Way, no, I start. No. I tug Dakota the opposite way.
I just need to lay down. It's fine.
Dakota, no.
I imagine it's pretty easy to
exactly.
Pull the. There's this back and forth a little bit as you all are going into, as you all are trying to make your way. You can make a post steam checks here if you would like to see.
Honestly, just for the fun of it, let's do it.
I think you have a disadvantage on this, Dakota. Just because
that's fair.
You are a little woozy, so that's 3d6. Take the lowest two.
3d6, lowest two. Wait, we're doing 2d6.
Yeah, that's how.
What have you been rolling?
That's how the game works. You've been rolling 2d6 this whole time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
No, my brain was like, "Oh, we're just doing contested. We'll just roll one."
Oh,
Don't worry about it.
I see ya.
So it's a minus two, or wait, no, we're, okay, never mind, don't, I got it. Oh.
I got a 7.
Okay. What'd you get?
Snake eyes, baby. Okay.
There's this kind of back and forth as you were trying to lead Dakota to the bathroom, and they keep pulling back. It's like, I just need to lay down, reaching out towards the bed a little bit.
Wait, hold on.
So you're pulling them into the bathroom with Walter's help. The two of you easily just kind of bring her into the bathroom. What do you sit her? It's a small one-person bathroom. It's got a tiny tub in there, a sink, a mirror. It's a bathroom.
They lead her toward the tub. I try to back them into the tub to almost fall back into it.
Yeah, for sure. The two of you are able to get them into the tub and kind of lay them down in it. And you hear very quickly Brittany comes in. She has the plastic bag and also a bucket. You see her take her foot. She opens the toilet, dumps ice out into the toilet, and then hands it to Dorothy and says, "Fill this with water." And then she gets down to take a look at your leg. I don't really want to get into the gross details of what is going to happen, fair. So let's.
I leave immediately to go get water.
I want all of the... Nah, I don't care.
I mean, you could tell us and then also cut it out.
I mean, I just personally don't want to get into...
Yeah, no. Oh,
that's fair. That's fair.
You don't gotta.
Yeah, no, of course.
But yeah, so Dorothy, you go get water. You bring it back in. And
Wait. Could I actually... I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm going to snoop a little bit real quick. Like, I'm going to go to, you know, the fridge or whatever.
Yeah, and... sure. Hey, Dakota, just... take one harm. Continue.
Because I didn't get water? Is that what this is?
No, just because time has passed.
Just because she's doing it? Yeah, okay. Can I take a gander around this place?
Yeah, sure.
8. Let's see.
An 8. Okay, so for take a gander, you take a long, hard look around. Describe what you're looking into. What are you looking into?
I'm trying to look into, like... I'm trying to find out more about this because I think I've ascertained that this is where the driver is, like, staying.
Lives, yeah.
Yeah, lives. Yeah. So I'm just trying to figure out if I can find out more about them.
Okay, cool.
From looking around.
Gotcha. On an 8, ask your GM 2 of the following questions. One is the truth, the other is a lie.
Cool. Oh, it's actually 9, but that's the same. Okay. What should I be wary of?
Okay, what's the other question?
What here isn't as it appears to be.
Gotcha. What should you be wary of? I mean, you are in... Dorothy's a kid, right? And yes. Kids typically hear horror stories about, like, parents being like, don't go off with strangers. They'll kidnap you and put you in a van, whatever. Like, Dorothy, you're in that situation, right? Where you... got in a car with a stranger, are in, like, a weird motel with a gun-toting psychopath shot your sister. If there's anything you should be wary of, it's probably her. She has only ever...
Noted.
She has only ever committed violence and kidnapping upon you and your friends. Like, come on. Who else should you be wary of? Right?
Fair.
What here is not what it appears to be. This is interesting. Okay. Before you passed out, of course, back at the laundromat, I mean, you saw her shoot Dakota. Not like directly, but you saw her shoot Dakota. You've seen her, again, just like kind of how I said, she's only committed violence and kidnapping upon you and your friends. Has only seemed very, like, you know... curt and stone-faced in a way that makes you think that she is not very empathetic or sympathetic of any person at all. Yet, Walter seems to trust her, and she does genuinely seem to be helping, not necessarily in the way that you would prefer, or maybe not even the best way possible, but she does seem to be helping. And that feels weird and also different from how things were before you blacked out. And so something about your situation is not what it appears to be from the perspective of Dorothy. Something has changed, and it is either something about your overall situation or perhaps something specific between Walter and the driver.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, I fill up the bucket with water and go back.
Okay, cool. You bring water back, and by the time you've gotten back in, you see that she's taken a pair of scissors that were in the med kit, and she's cutting open the pant leg of Dakota.
No!
I'm sorry. How is she going to get you to, how is she going to get to your leg? I don't know what to say.
Not the pants.
So
It's just the one pant leg.
I'm sorry. Do you want the pants ruined or the leg? You know.
Yeah, right. We could amputate if you want.
Listen, I'll die in fashion.
She cuts open the pant leg, takes a look at the wound, and very quickly says, "I'm going to need you to. We're going to have to flip you over. The wound is on the backside of your leg."
Huh?
We're gonna okay. She turns to Walter and says, "I'm gonna need you to help me flip her."
Okay. I am.
Yeah. I mean, I'll do my best.
All right. what is describe to me what Walter does in order to help flip her?
I think he's just like, geez. I think he just like. Kind of gets on one side of them and just like goes like under and just like more half-heartedly like helping and also just like looking up at the woman just like with a look on his face just kind of like, are you serious? Like you really want me to do this? Like this is helping, you think?
Awesome. So you do that. The two of you are able to eventually flip Dakota over. You see she gets a better look at the wound. She takes the bucket from you, Dorothy, says thanks. You see she grabs a few tools from the med kit and starts to get to work. Regardless of if you all are standing here or not. Again, as I've kind of said, I'm not going to describe this, but you can imagine it's not great. Dakota's incredibly painful.
Do I pass out from the pain?
Probably. She's also given you like a water bottle, so you can be like chugging that as it goes. She definitely says like, drink this, you're going to need it.
I would say Dakota like tries to drink it, but probably spills like a good portion of it all over themselves. Mm.
Great. Awesome. Understandable. Okay. Walter and Dorothy, do you all stay here for this or do you like go back into the other room?
I think Walter stays.
Okay. Dorothy?
I stay.
Okay.
I'm too worried that something else terrible will happen.
Gotcha. Then the two of you are witness the painful and excruciating process of removing this bullet from Dakota. There is probably at a point, like after some grunting and like screaming, that they pass out. And you all see that she does successfully remove the bullet. She packs the wound and then bandages it up, cleans it, like uses some water and like some rubbing alcohol to sterilize this wound. I'm getting a lot of head shaking from. From Marceline that the rubbing alcohol was not a good.
It'll be fine.
Okay, cool.
It is the 80s.
Yeah, it's the 80s. Come on, everything works. She could put a leech on your leg and you'd be fine.
Modern medicine.
Modern medicine
at its finest. Let's do some bloodletting.
Yeah. She's sorry, we're gonna have to do some trepanation. It's the only way to release the blood pressure from her skull.
Oh boy.
She cleans the wound, bandages it up, gets like a bit like a splint to like prevent you so like you don't move that part of your leg a lot to kind of keep it stabilized and so you don't like she probably stitches you up. Yeah, no, she definitely stitches you up.
Stitches
you up. I think she okay, I know exactly what she does. She cleans the wound, stitches it up, then cauterizes it, and then like kind of disinfects it again. And then, like, maybe does a splint so you don't move your leg enough to undo the stitches for right now. And she probably lets you stay in the bathtub for a bit.
Yeah, that's fair.
She probably lets you stay in the bathtub a bit. She probably does help you flip back over so you're, like, facing
face
up.
Face down in the bathtub.
Yeah, exactly.
What a way to wake up.
Yeah, exactly. She does, like, flip you over. She puts a couple of bottles of water next to you. But yeah, I think you're down for the count for right now as you're resting.
Does any of my harm heal or no?
It will eventually, but not right now.
Okay.
Um,
fair enough.
Yeah. It'll Yeah, it'll get healed. Don't worry.
Takes harm to heal harm.
We're cutting a little close. Cutting
a little closer, bud. Well, you know, that's what happens when you get shot.
That's fair.
These things happen when you get shot.
Yeah. So she finishes up and says, all right, she's going to need some rest, some water, and then she should be fine. Do you think she wants to keep this? And holds out, like, the bullet, like, still, like, kind of bloody in her hand.
Walter goes, maybe.
I'll hold on to it for her.
Okay.
Dorothy knows that Dakota would probably think it's sick. So, Dorothy is going to hold on to it.
Okay, yeah, she gives you the bullet and says... it's still... Did she wash the bullet? I don't think she did. I think it's still...
I might have rinsed the alcohol or something.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, yeah, it's clean. I'm not gonna give Dorothy a bloody bullet.
Yeah.
We got it out. Okay, cool. She walks out and says, you all want something to eat? I can grab, like, a pizza or something.
Yeah.
All right.
That'd be pretty...
I'm staying here.
Okay. Yeah, no, I can go grab it.
I, put down, the toilet lid or whatever, and I sit down right next to where Dakota is.
Okay, cool. And she leaves.
I wash off the bullet in the sink.
Awesome. Awesome. Brittany grabs her keys, and you hear the door open and close. Hello, everybody. It is I, Kendo, your GM, your best friend, here to do the mid-roll. Thank you all so much, as always, for listening to the podcast. It means so, so much to us. And if you are enjoying the podcast and you want to tell other people how much you enjoy the podcast, well, you can just go ahead and tell your friends. And you can also leave us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Podchaser, and, you know, wherever else you listen that may take ratings, and give us, you know, maybe 5 stars, or, you know, however much you think we deserve. And if you are a fan of the podcast and you aren't following us on social media, what are you doing? You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Tales Yet Told. It's the best way to get information about the podcast, see character art that we may, you know, share, and, you know, another good way to interact with us. Other than our Discord server, you can find the link to our Discord server on the bios of the social media I just told you about. So you're going to have to go there anyway, so just drop a follow while you're there. I mean, come on, it's that simple. We also want to give a huge shout out to the Be Gay Roll Dice Network for allowing us to be a part of their wonderful group of creators. There are a lot of really awesome queer creators out there making actual play content that you are going to want to hear. And I have an ad for them coming up for you. But, you know, before that, don't forget to eat well, drink enough water, get enough sleep, and take care of yourself. And love yourself like I love you. Bye.
Ready to get your hands dirty and stuff some creds in your pocket? Then get ready for Cyber Plus Punk Overload, the first official expansion of the award-winning sci-fi action TTRPG, Cyber Plus Punk. This game is powered by a super-condensed version of John Harper's Forged in the Dark system, made specifically for action-packed one-shot sessions. Cyber Plus Punk puts you in the boots of a runner, living on the edge and stalking the shadows of a gritty, ultra-violent world full of megacorps, mercs, and pigs, all looking to f*** you over. And guess what? You've got one last run. Overload is a collection of 16 new scenarios that drop you into mega-prisons, reality TV shows, time loops, Badlands, and even the Netscape. Plus, you get additional add-ons, including gear catalogs, new plug-in rule sets, and complete settings, all bundled into 3 sleek thematic packs. Ain't that just grand? And if that's not enough, if you back Cyber Plus Punk Overload on Kickstarter, you can even get an exclusive holo foil sleeve, making it seamless to take your game anywhere you're going. Now what the f*** are you waiting for? Go to Kickstarter now and back Cyber Plus Punk Overload, and good luck, runner. You're gonna need it.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you? Bitcherton is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitcherton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bitchertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Maravich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitcherton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitcherton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta! For now.
As you all are here in this bathroom, what do you all do? I suppose, what do the two of you do?
I think Dorothy's still a little bit in shock. Mm-hmm. I think I'm like on top of the toilet and I'm just holding this bullet in my hand and just like kind of turning it over, fiddling with it, and just kind of trying to wrap my mind around the fact that this little piece of metal just tried to kill, or that, you know, it deeply wounded my sister, that I thought that I was gonna lose Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to like contemplate everything that's happened, trying to just like get my mind around it. Just very quiet.
Understandable. Walter?
Walter has been since the incident with his sort of new revelation, he's been sort of distant, but he is starting to sort of come back to reality. And like seeing Dakota like this, like I think that's what really does it for him. And he is, I think a good adjective might be somber. He's just sort of contemplating kind of the same thing as Dorothy was, just like oh my god, we almost lost Dakota here.
Yeah,
that was really close. That was really, really bad.
Yeah.
I have something that I want to do, but I don't know if Walter would want to do it.
Okay, what is it?
You said there was a phone?
Yeah, there's a phone that's in the main room, like on the side table by the bed.
Okay, I think here's what Walter does. I think he goes into the main room, he goes to the phone, and I think he just like picks it up. And just, like, listens.
Okay. You pick up the phone, and there is, like, the sound of, like, I think it's just, like, the dial tone, which is just, like, a solid, like, for, like, a while.
Yeah, okay. I think he hangs up. He's not,
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm gonna go ahead and follow Walter out of the bathroom.
Okay. Yeah, you see Walter hop down from, I guess, like the edge of the tub, scutter out of the bathroom and into the main room. Follow behind him, you see him pick up the phone in, like, I imagine both hands, and put it down.
I just hop up and sit on like the edge of the bed, and I watch Walter do this and say, who are you calling, Walter?
Huh? Oh, no one. Nah, I wanted to know if he was listening.
The stranger?
Yeah. I'm still not convinced he's not, but I don't know.
Something's different, Dorothy. I mean, it's going to be different going forward. You know,
were really different when I woke up. What happened with the driver? Why is she helping us? She shot Dakota, and then now she's helping patch her up and getting us pizza?
This is hard to explain. We got a wish from winning the game.
Yeah.
I wish to know everything about this place. I wish to just completely understand what the heck is going on. And frankly, I almost think I might have gotten more than I bargained for. Because I saw it. I saw all of it for exactly what it is. And that lady, she's not real.
What do you mean?
I mean, she was made by the Sublime, or made by whatever made the Sublime. And she exists to serve a purpose. And I tweaked that purpose a little bit.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of confusing.
So is this all that stuff they were talking about at the school where we had roles and classes and...
No. See, some people here are real, some people are not. I don't know why there are real people here or why this place is here at all. I don't know. I don't get it entirely, but, you know, like, some of the people that we've met are just, they're just not real. And they have purpose, you know, because they were made to. We're not. We're free. And Walter, like, glances back at the phone. He says, he doesn't like that. He doesn't like that we're free.
As you say that, the phone rings.
Walter picks up. He doesn't say anything.
You hear there's, like, a bit of silence. But after, like, a second or so, you hear the familiar voice.
Did you get them? Driver, did you get them?
Walter just, like, lets the silence ring out for a moment and then just replies, she doesn't work for you anymore. And he hangs up.
You hang up, and there's this moment of, like, complete silence.
In that moment, that's when, like, Walter is internally just thinking, like, oh, fuck, I shouldn't have done that.
I think there's, like, the moment of, like, you still, like, have your hand on the phone after you've, like, slammed it down. And, like, after a couple of seconds of just, like, this dead, tense silence, the phone rings again.
Walter picks it up.
Walter, no!
Well. For the little trick you played, I wasn't going to grant that wish. But somehow, you pulled it out of me.
All good questions. All really good questions.
Can I take that as you don't know?
You can take it as I don't want to tell you.
No, Walter. How long do you think you can run? How long do you think you can keep those kids out of my grasp? How long before they too realize what you are? What you've always been. What I helped show you you are.
And what am I?
Take a look in the mirror.
Yeah. Is that the heavy-handed metaphor you're going with? I'm an animal. Is that what you're trying to say?
More specifically, I'd say a weasel, but I suppose animal gets it across as well.
You asked me how long I think I can run, how long I think I can do this. I got a leg up on you. How long do you think before I'm crushing you into the dirt? How long do you think you can hide from me?
The game has changed, Walter.
It has.
No more kitty gloves. No more pulling punches. If you think you can strip me from this world, strip me from all the people who need my guidance, strip me from every bit of your existence, better people have tried, and better people have failed.
You're probably right. I want to offer you something else.
And that is?
I know something that maybe only you and I know. you're not in complete control here. Don't try to deny it. I saw that other thing, and I know you've seen it too.
I am in control.
For how long? For however long the creator thinks you should be?
I've kept him out of this for longer than you've been alive. Longer than most people here have been alive.
You and I both know all it's gonna take is one little slip-up. You think you can afford to take that risk? I don't know what you have besides this. You have anything?
Walter, you are forgetting where you stand, where you live, where you breathe. Boy, I am this land. I am its people. For as long as you are here, I have everything I need. This has been a good talk. But I think I've wasted enough of your time.
I'll admit, I didn't always think we had a fighting chance, but, well, like you said, game changed.
I'm excited to see what you bring to the table.
And you hear the click on the other end of the phone, and you hear the slamming of a door shut as the bathroom door behind you, where Dakota is, shuts and locks.